Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 32, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for May 22nd, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Jumpin' Jack Cheese, Doritos flavor. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. And Miles been grading for this moment. For all Zeitgeist.
Thank you so much, Chapman Rice, a.k.a. Goddess. I saw you blacked out over the weekend and hit me with just so, well, us with so many a.k.a.s. I appreciate that when your genius visits you and you're able to just get it all out there on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So shout out to you, Chapman.
Personally, I think that one was too short, but... No,
they're going to get
cut
longer.
Cut it off too soon.
They are going to get longer.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious J. Keith Van Stratton.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Do I do an AKA or a Phil Collins?
You do have one. You got one.
Yeah,
yeah. What you got?
This guy.
Oh.
I was not informed.
No. In case you have one already, I don't know. Oh, do you ever have a nickname ever?
I used to be called Daddy, mostly by myself. Which,
okay. Yeah. Interesting. We'll get into that later.
Yes, much later.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I actually have been, for the last 3 months, working a day job where I produce content for a television game show where I have to write trivia questions and jokes. And so that requires a lot of Googling. And so actually, I've been sending my weird Google searches to my lady friend every time they come up. And I believe the last one that I have was, what do pimps wear?
Mm.
Which in and of itself is not that interesting. But the autocomplete, I thought, was because when I put in what pimps wear, it was what pimps wear, what do pimps wear, what shoes do pimps wear, what color do pimps wear, what do female pimps wear.
Mm. Ooh.
So I accidentally learned something before I even hit enter. I like the idea of the shoes, that like you got the whole outfit.
Right.
But
right.
What is the sensible footwear for a pimp?
I mean, it depends on what idea you have. You know, is it the Don Magic Wand idea, like the Superfly kind of?
Yeah, I would assume some sort of an animal skin boot.
Yeah, or a crazy platform with the goldfish in the heel or something like that.
Right, right.
And did you find the answer to your question, the what you were searching for?
Like I did. I did. Well, you know what I was trying to find? I was trying to find what is the name of the stick that they carry that's not exactly a cane and it's not exactly a scepter, but maybe it is a scepter.
I thought it was called a pimp cane.
Maybe it was pimp cane, yeah. Well, there you go.
According to the problematic bag costumes that you get in stores, it's called a pimp cane.
Hashtag pimp cane.
All right.
Pimp
cane. What is something that you think is overrated?
I think treadmills that do any advanced features are incredibly overrated.
Okay.
I bought a used treadmill from the Sears outlet store maybe 8 or 10 years ago.
Okay.
Totally works fine. Every time I travel and I use like a fancy hotel or gym treadmill, there's absolutely no advantage other than the fact that it's much heavier and it has more blinking lights and whatnot.
Right. So it's the same thing.
It's exactly
the same
thing.
Is it simulating running for me?
Right.
Then it's fulfilled its promise.
Or
as
walking
a treadmill.
Or light jogging.
Right, right.
Yes.
Because now they have ones that it's like run through the Alps or shit like that. Or is that the cycling one? I feel like everything now is trying to be like, don't you want to run somewhere other than wherever your treadmill is?
Right. Yeah. Or simulating a race or something. No, I'm good. And even the one I have, the advanced feature at the time was it was iPod compatible, which just meant that it has really crappy speakers in it that you can plug it into. And even that was completely overrated. I never used it.
Right.
Yeah. It's like all you need is
for those of you who haven't heard of headphones.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
I like my treadmill to like blow cold air in my face and like kick me in the shins like I'm in a race, you know. Just get the full vibe going.
I never use any advanced option other than speed and incline, and I don't think anyone else needs to.
Yeah, exactly.
There is one thing that I've had with shitty treadmills where if you're heavy enough, when you step on the treadmill,
it bounces.
It'll like stop the belt briefly, and it's pretty awkward.
Well, that's a bad treadmill. I'm not saying that.
So you're not recommending
treadmills are overrated. I'm just saying anything with a more advanced feature, other than it meets the basic requirement of treading mill. In that case, it didn't sound like the tread part worked.
Or maybe
it was the mill part. I'm not clear.
I'm not totally sure. What is something that you think is underrated?
Hammocks.
All right.
I got a hammock a couple years ago, and every time I lay down in it, I am as happy and relaxed as I am. I am angry that it did not have this in my life until the moment that I did.
Yeah.
The hammock lifestyle is completely underrated. It changes your perspective on everything. It makes everything better. There is not a time when I would not rather be in a hammock.
I 100% agree. My friend had a wedding in the woods, and there were a bunch of hammocks set up like as part of this sort of summer camp vibe. And my girlfriend and I got in a hammock and like stayed in it for like 3 hours straight. And we're like, we need this always. And now I've got two hammocks.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's the way to live. And wow. It helps you.
Is it
enjoy
his and hers? Or?
It's like a double. It's like a double wide thing. Yeah. It's a double wide hammock. You know, mm-hmm. I'm doing pretty well. So yeah, we just set it up in our backyard, and it helps you. Like, it gives you a reason to just stay outside much mm-hmm. longer than normally if you just have chairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. People are so impressed. It's the proportion of the effort and cost it took to acquire and set up to the enjoyment and the amount that impresses guests is crazy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People are so impressed.
Have a hammock. That's true.
I once had $100 and went on Craigslist.
Right. It's like, wow, one of the oldest forms of furniture ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Impressive.
Cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah.
My wife and I have his and hers bathtubs, outdoor bathtubs.
Oh.
They just sit in next to each other like the ED.
How long have you been taking Cialis? Yeah.
Just looking at each other.
Wait, so on the hammocks, do you guys have cloth hammocks? Are they the string hammocks?
I have a string hammock
made
by I can't remember, there's one huge company I think in Maine or something that makes all of the high quality rope hammocks.
I have one like that's on a metal frame, and then I also have mm-hmm. like the sort of camping kind you can just throw out if you have the straps between two trees.
I bought one of those, and I've yet to use it because the last time I went camping there was nowhere to put it, and I was just raging in my tent the whole time.
Yeah, that's also that's a risk we run when
next time I'm going to look closer. I mean, when you reserve a campsite, they usually say whether there's like, you know, water or power hookups. They should say if it's hammockable.
Hammockable.
Yeah. Hammockable. Hashtag hammockable. A lot of hashtags coming from this episode.
Yeah. Hammockable. Hashtag factory. Have you ever watched bears trying to get into hammocks and succeeding?
Yes, and I can relate.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I have a cat, and my favorite moments are when the cat takes a risk of jumping upon me while I'm in the hammock.
Oh.
Because, you know, if he gets off of me or the pillow or anything, it's actually having to deal with trying to navigate the rope or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in what was that Stephen King movie where they put a cat on the electrified floor and he kept jumping up?
Oh, God.
Was that a real
thing?
Did I dream that?
I don't.
Someone Pet listening
cemetery?
Is screaming at him.
No,
at
that's all the answer.
Sleepwalkers? Pet Cemetery?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was the cat torture hotel.
Oh. Also, I've noticed a lot of people get into hammocks very awkwardly. There are also many videos of people fucking up getting into a hammock. And to you, I say, just have faith. It will carry you. Just put your weight down. When you start like trying to like balance it with your arms,
and people are so afraid to fall. Like worst case scenario, you fall 6 inches.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the great thing about the bears getting into hammocks is, first of all, how difficult it is for them. Mm-hmm. But then once they get in.
They
understand the hammock lifestyle.
They've never heard of this.
Yeah,
like
furniture?
Yeah. And you know what I mean? They're like the first of their species to get it. And they're just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like you can just see it dawn on them how great this is.
You think in a million years, bears will evolve to naturally nestle into a hammock?
This could be like the precursor to something very dangerous of like bears like exponentially increasing their intelligence due to hammocks.
Right. They just slowly run off into the woods. And finally, what is a myth? What is something that most people believe to be true that you know to be false?
That baseball is boring.
Okay.
Baseball is not boring.
Hot take.
Yes. Baseball, I'm a huge baseball fan. But even if I were not, the only people who think baseball is boring are people who do not understand baseball. And if you don't understand anything, it is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people who believe that Game of Thrones is a very exciting television show. I only watched part of one episode in, I think, the fourth or fifth season, and I thought it was boring because I did not understand what was going on, who these people are, why were they fighting,
what are the stakes?
Any of that stuff. Yeah, I didn't understand any of it, what the rules were, who the best players were, any of that. So it's the same thing with baseball. You have to have a little bit of understanding about it. One of my favorite things to do is actually go to a baseball game with a newbie and help them see the game and understand the different factoids about the players and the different strategies and whatnot.
Okay.
But I think that basketball is incredibly boring because it just goes back and forth. And it doesn't matter until the last
– take alarm.
It doesn't matter until the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, there are probably people who are basketball fans that think I'm crazy and stupid and that is a myth because I do not understand and appreciate basketball.
I see.
So you're being the same way if you think that way about baseball.
I think basketball is amazing. I think baseball – I love going to the ballpark to watch mm-hmm. baseball. For me, watching baseball on TV, I don't enjoy the sport enough to sit through a game until there are stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the postseason typically when I tune in. Although I will admit – with Shohei Ohtani now in the league, I'm much more engaged with baseball because, you know, I'm looking out for all the Nihonjin out here in the major.
Well, you're preaching to the choir because I'm a huge Angels fan. And so I've been tracking Ohtani since he was in the Japanese League.
Hoping, yeah, yeah.
You know, ready for
well,
to,
I was
the
hoping
Angels
he
to pounce.
Would come to L.A. too because we have a history of, you know, some great Japanese pitchers here, except for Darvish. But that's a whole other story.
So my main problem with baseball is that during the regular season, there's so many games that I guess it would be the same complaint you have about basketball, mm-hmm. is that like even the games don't seem to matter that much.
Yeah. Well, and also like college basketball, especially people say is super exciting. And I can go to any sport and I can appreciate it if someone explains it to me well enough. I root for the Louisville, University of Louisville. I got family there.
The Ville,
sure. Mm-hmm. But it just seems so random, this tournament, that like there's no way that determines who the best team is. Mm. I mean, and the fact that so many weird things can happen in the last, not even the last seconds, but the last fractions of seconds that determine the game and determine whether you're going to go on to the championship. Like that to me is maddening.
Yeah.
The things that I love about baseball, though, are that, first of all, it's just great background noise, mm-hmm. to like, if you have to get something done, it's a great thing to have on TV because it will not take up any of your attention.
And I will say, despite the fact that I debunk the myth that it is boring, I love a good baseball nap.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things in the summer is to have a game on and fall asleep to it. And you could argue that if a sport is not a sport if you can fall asleep to it, but I'm a pretty good napper.
Yeah. I mean, I fall asleep to sports very regularly, but so.
And then I also love the mental aspect of it, like how weird like slumps are when the Dodgers, who were like one of the best teams in the history of baseball, like in terms of their record, got into the worst slump in the history of baseball.
Terrible,
it was just like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
I love how at times it's so unpredictable, it's amazing how much you can predict it, and how at other times it's so predictable, it's amazing how you can't predict it.
Right.
Did I say that right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that you never know what's going to happen on any given night. And I also like just over the years, I guess maybe with any hobby or interest that you have, how your love of it changes and how what you see changes. You know, I used to kind of always look at baseball from the perspective of, you know, of a batter and then a pitcher and then a manager and then some sort of from the front office. And so you understand more about the game and what goes into it and the stories behind it, I love the complexity of it and also how it's just simple.
I think baseball is one of those things. If you see every layer for what it is, the game becomes much less boring to you because
absolutely.
You understand like pitch counts and
probably
pitcher
everything.
Management. And things like that, and those are the things that over the years I began to appreciate and go, oh, now I get why people who are so into baseball really are like watching every single thing.
And I love that it's over 125 years old that we've had Major League Baseball, and people are still finding ways to maximize it, like completely new ways, even just in the last 10 years of, you know, how you construct a lineup and different ways of measuring stats and, you know, how trends about, you know, bunting go in and out and all that. Yeah. I love that it's such a beautiful and complex thing that we're still discovering new ways to look at it and new ways to calculate who's good at it.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm a little weird because I really like the home runs.
Yes.
And the home runs, grand slams.
Oh, yes. Slammaroos.
Yeah, the slammaroos. Right. The
dingers. Taters. You enjoy taters?
Like dingers. Knock it out of the park.
I like frozen ropes, laser beams.
Cans of corn.
Yeah.
that's just me.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into the stories, guys. Let's get into the ideas that people are thinking and talking about today in America and around the world. We want to start out with something that our audience, the Zeitgang, was coming at us with after we talked about the Brainstorm Green Needle debate.
Yeah, Laurel versus Yanni.
As well as Laurel versus Yanni. So people brought up the McGurk effect, which is something that I was familiar with, and it does actually apply here. So J. Keith, you're familiar with McGurk effect. You picked this out of our notes as something to
I've been telling people about the McGurk effect for years, and it sounds like I'm joking, but I'm not. I'm a great first date, by the way, because I will play almost any first date.
Take you to a baseball game, explain the game, and the McGurk effect.
Yeah. that's what women like.
Hey, let me mansplain baseball to you. You know about this weird tricks your brain plays on you?
Now, you're wrong for thinking you saw what you saw. That's a positive message. So basically, the McGurk effect is your brain processes things and makes sense of patterns and ways because there's so much complicated data coming at it. And so one of the ways that that's demonstrated in an unusual way is you can be looking at a video of someone saying fa, like the way that – I don't know the different linguistic things, but the way that the teeth hit the lips and all that, saying fa, fa, fa. And even though the audio is actually them saying ba, 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 and you can, and you, and even if you comprehend, if you're, it's proven to you that what they're actually saying is ba ba ba. If you match up someone saying ba 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 audio to the video of someone saying fa fa fa, mm-hmm. and even though you 100% know that they're saying ba ba ba, your brain cannot hear ba ba ba.
Yeah,
they're
it
making
will
the
change
fa,
it. To it will fa, change. Fa,
it will
fa.
Change.
For real?
Yeah.
Let me do this right.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. It's there's a really good YouTube video on it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I've
MCGURK effect, I believe.
Yeah. How do you get an effect named after you? Boy,
I know.
I'd love that.
God.
What's the
Flynn effect? That's one of my favorite effects. Top five effects of all time. Go. Special effects.
Butterfly.
Butterfly effect.
Zero effect. That was that was a
McGurk
movie.
Effect. McGurk. Flynn
MTV's
effect.
Direct effect.
Mm. Yes.
Or direct effects.
All right. So did you watch the thing?
No, I'm watching right now. Hold on.
But it's weird because I would have never associated the F sound and the B sound.
Right.
You know.
See, doesn't this sound like a good date?
You bring your laptop with you.
Yeah,
and
I just pop it up on the YouTube on the phone.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, if you're looking at the same video that I usually show, which is from a BBC special, it brings on a professor who's demonstrating it, this guy from UC Riverside.
Yeah, yeah.
And the best part, it says, he's been studying the McGurk effect for 26 years.
and he's got this one video out of it.
You know what? God loves geeks. God loves
they
specialists.
They just got me. Yeah, from da 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 to ba ba ba.
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Oh, they did the
deep?
Da. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They did the. Remember that Volkswagen?
Oh
commercial?
Man,
that
I didn't know they took it to the da.
Yeah, yeah. What song was that? Remember that?
I do remember. I don't know the song. Though.
Yeah. I remember that. I love that Volkswagen.
But I love stuff like that. I love, you know, I love. It's similar to, I forget the name of it. It's what makes our brains think we see faces when there aren't faces. Because,
right.
Again, we have to organize. Our brain are so conditioned over however many years to at least 30. To try to recognize patterns, whether they are patterns or not. And we're so used to seeing faces and identifying things by faces. So that's why a lot of times you think you see, you know, a face on the moon or in the clouds or, you know.
Right.
But I do.
There you go.
And I think it ties into how we were explaining the Yanni and Laurel and Brainstorm and Green Needle thing last week is that we have more nerves going from our brain to our eyes than from our eyes to the brain. And it's because we see and hear with our brain. So it's like, even though the stimulus comes in, mostly it is making sense of that stimulus in the brain and like sending that back to the ears or the eyes to sort of reconfigure it. It's almost like you have a mixing board in your brain.
Yeah, like a delay or something.
Right,
yeah.
That has to make sense of it.
Does that have something to do with the speed of light being faster than the speed of sound? That like we process that first or we put primary importance on?
I wouldn't think so because when you're that close to the screen, it doesn't, it wouldn't really be a noticeable difference. And I think that there's some speed at which things travel along your nerves, something like 90 miles per hour, 96 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Add neurology to your list of expert topics.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I just pulled that number completely out of my
head. I like that, though.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So Donald Trump tweeted, quote, over the weekend, making a sort of royal decree that he wanted all of the information about a spy who was sent to investigate his campaign under Obama during the 2016 campaign. And I don't know, he continues to respond to everything about the Mueller investigation in just the most guilty and not even trying to cover it up, just, you know, I have something to hide, and so I'm freaking out type of way. It's hard for me to take it any other way.
Well, it is weird that all of his surrogates that appear, none of them say, well, he's innocent.
Right.
No.
None of them say he didn't do these
things.
It's
a witch hunt.
Yeah. They're all just blaming everybody for accusing him of doing them or, you know, or there's mitigating circumstances or if he did, it wasn't illegal. There's nothing about what was right or proper or that didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, now it's going into the improper thing, right? Because now they're trying to say like, oh, the deep state sort of FBI, they were trying to undermine me by sending in a spy, which is already those misnomers are just sort of very misleading.
Yeah.
Because this is just an informant who essentially the FBI was getting reports that they're saying, hey, we have heard that maybe there's Russians trying to infiltrate this campaign. Like, if that's the case, we need to make sure, like, protect this campaign from being manipulated from a foreign power. Hence, this person goes to sort of do a light technique, I think called brushing up or whatever, just to merely be like pick the brain and just be like, yo, talk to some people and see kind of what you dig up. Right. And from there, that person said, whoa, Mike Flynn is like hanging with these like Russian people. Like, this person was beginning to see like they were actual Russians.
It's also Papadopoulos, close. Right?
Right,
Papadopoulos. Was one of the other people who we know for a fact has bragged about.
About having... how Russia had all this dirt on Hillary and things like that. So all these things came together where they're like, oh, yeah, let's make sure that this campaign has some form of, I guess, integrity, or rather it hasn't been completely compromised or infiltrated by a foreign power.
So according to Trump and the White House, this was an attempt to infiltrate his campaign and disrupt it for political purposes. However, at this time, the FBI was actively trying to completely cover up and keep quiet the fact that they were investigating Trump and his campaign for having ties to Russians and other foreign governments. They were publicly talking about the Hillary Clinton investigation. They were perfectly fine to do that and have a political effect there. But they were doing this rather than, you know, openly investigating his campaign because they didn't want to have a political effect, because they didn't want to be seen as having a liberal bias, because they knew that that would make half of the nation freak the fuck out. And they were also under the assumption that Hillary Clinton was going to win. So,
by the way, what would a disrupted Trump campaign look like? How would that be any, exactly. How could you tell?
Right. So Trump has responded to word of this, quote, infiltration by issuing this royal decree on Twitter that the Justice Department reveal classified information to him about an ongoing investigation into him and his campaign. Rosenstein tried to keep him at bay by offering to put the inspector general on the case, which, by the way, the inspector general is about to supposedly drop a bombshell, according to NPR on their morning podcast, First Up. He is releasing a report about whether FBI leaked classified information to Rudy Giuliani during the campaign.
Right, because, that would have helped Trump.
Right, that would have helped Trump, because Rudy Giuliani suddenly had classified information that he just went on Fox News and talked about during the campaign. And everyone was like, that doesn't seem like that should be possible.
Well, then everyone else can be like, no, that's not what we wanted the inspector general to find out.
Right.
We want them to come back and say the FBI deep stated us.
Right. So anyways, this is clearly going to mean that the inspector general is compromised and part of the deep state. But it also means that he takes a while to get things done. And based on the fact that Trump's tweet all but implied a royal fanfare of trumpets and like a full brass band.
I really was hoping a scroll would unravel.
I hereby declare. What was his tweet?
I believe it was I hereby demand.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have no problem with an investigation being checked if there was.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does. I
mean, nobody does.
You know, in his mind, of course, any investigation is going to come up, is either going to be a witch hunt or is going to come up with evidence that will support him.
Right.
I mean, that's the maddening thing about that. There's no correct answer that would satisfy him if it doesn't fit his narrative.
Yeah, the partisans on the right can't agree on what an objective truth is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the second it brings to light any kind of fuckery on
not
the right,
that
it's like,
truth. The
yeah,
other
no,
truth.
No, no, no. The one where the deep state turned Hillary Clinton to a shapeshifter and was doing a child sex ring.
Right.
But the fact that he is openly trying to interfere with this investigation into his campaign is just taken for granted now.
Right.
Because we know for a fact that he has tried to fire Rosenstein and tried to fire Mueller, and it's just taken for granted at this point that he is trying to stop this investigation. I think the people on his side would say that he's doing that because it's undermining or making it hard
for him
to, you know, focus on priorities, I guess. But anyway, so in response to Rosenstein's offer to, you know, we'll forward it up the chain to HR, which is the
DOJ
equivalent of the Inspector General, he called Rosenstein to his office and solicited a commitment to meet with Chief of Staff John Kelly, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, and members of Congress to discuss classified information, presumably including the activities of the FBI's confidential source. And I mean, as we've been shown, any information that gets shared with Republican Nunes. Leaders of the House.
It ends up on Fox within 5 seconds.
Like, less. It's just like he has a live feed. He's fucking got that shit on a...
Blast?
Yeah, on Blast or on... Say.
Well, he got more of a direct line, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put on Blast is more to drag somebody.
Periscope.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm hip welcome and to 2014. Up on the moment. So this is problematic because it undermines an ongoing investigation.
Well, yeah, and also just the independence of the DOJ and prosecutorial independence in general in terms of the rule of law.
That's something I didn't fully appreciate until all this stuff went down in the last couple of years was how hands-off the president was supposed to be with the Department of Justice.
Yeah, it's
the fact that, like, I think Obama met with Comey maybe once during his talk directly
about something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is kind of the thing, and I was saying earlier, like, off mic, that all this thrashing that's happening from the White House and the Republicans to protect the president is going to leave deep scars in terms of our justice system and the rule of law in this country. Because
it already is.
Well, yeah, but it's happening in such a small way where on one side we're just like, okay, I guess the Freedom Caucus now just wants a special counsel to investigate the FBI because they're doing their job enforcing the law. Like, you know, we're slowly eroding these things, these just sort of norms that we had that kept our, you know, DOJ independent.
Right.
And we had some form of law enforcement. And now if the norm is going to be the second you get called out, you go, yeah, but we need to look at why they even looked at me.
And how crazy is it that it's the right that's doing this now? I mean, the left used to be the ones who were suspicious of the FBI being spied on and plants and informants and all that.
Yeah.
And that it's completely switched. I mean, the idea that a Republican president and other people in his parties are the ones who are accusing the FBI of being hacks is crazy.
Yeah, all these people who are supposedly doing deep state work to undermine Trump's presidency, Mueller, Comey,
who
all
he still
Republicans.
Calls, and he still calls them Democrats. And
They're all Republicans. There's also the story from the New York Times over the weekend that basically there was a second meeting that we talked about on yesterday's episode that was very much like the Russia meeting where Don Jr. opens it up and is like, I understand you have information for us. You know, just openly trying to collude with foreign powers, which is against all election laws. And Trump tweeted, things are really getting ridiculous. The failing and crooked, but not as crooked as Hillary Clinton.
There you go.
Has done a long and boring story indicating that the world's most expansive witch hunt has found nothing on Russia and me. So now they are looking at the rest of the world. And there's a Vanity Fair article that is taking this angle on the story and running with it. A Vanity Fair article is like, okay, now we're going to move on to other countries because we couldn't find anything with Russia. First of all, there's nothing to suggest that they didn't find anything with Russia. They just haven't shared their investigative, like what they found. And also, there's nothing about you colluding with one country that says you wouldn't collude with another. And in fact, this is just, nobody has ever argued this was a well-planned, you know, thing with Russia where you guys had this preconditioned idea. It's global corruption and incompetence. That is the model that I'm working from when it comes to your campaign. Just total and comprehensive, just incompetence and corruption. And, you know, the fact that they found a meeting where you were willing to collude with another country doesn't change anything, nor does it make the Russia accusations any more or less likely. And also, so this meeting that had Eric Prince at it, the king of blood money, Miles, you were on an upcoming episode of Behind the Bastards.
Oh, yes.
Robert Evans' new podcast, talking about Eric Prince.
Right? Oh, yeah. And he is a huge piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's crazy. Like, the stuff that Robert was telling me about him, it all makes sense. Like, you know, that you can't start Blackwater unless you have some real wacky upbringing and sort of crazy worldviews. So, yeah, tune in for that. We'll let you know when that episode drops. Because
it's a vortex of evil and murder.
Yeah.
And
let's just say he tried to build his own illegal air force at one point, like weaponized planes. Anyway.
Apparently, he was also meeting and introducing these people to Russian oligarchs at that Seychelles meeting.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's where it's like all coming together. It's just all so fucking complicated.
And then also he was even lying in front of Congress when he was like, oh, the most I did was maybe some fundraising and put a yard sign up. You know, that's the most I did for the campaign.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's just a culture of deception and corruption.
Right.
And that's all that's coming to light. So, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about the DOJ. Let them do their fucking job and enforce the law because, look, this is what we need to maintain some semblance of decency in the country, if there's any left.
Yeah, but the point you're making that the Freedom Caucus is now saying that they want a special
counsel to be like, the FBI and DOJ is unfair.
Right.
Like, that's essentially the point, is they're like, why are they so interested in all this crime, basically? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
How come they aren't investigating Hillary's collusion with Russia? Yeah, besides that there wasn't any.
Right. Well, and they have, you know, like, there have been multiple things where they're like, yeah, sure, we'll look into it. Guess what? Okay, right. We didn't find anything. Okay, you fine? They're like, well, no, come back until you say something like she, you know, whatever fantasy they need fulfilled about her.
And that's what my smart conservative friends have been saying for a while, though, is that because this is getting into this range where it's like, you know, a special counsel is looking into this, that Trump will now appoint his own special counsel to look into that. This could be the lasting sort of outcome from all of these different investigations. Constantly putting special prosecutors on each other whenever the other side wins an election.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wonder if this could have been avoided if there had been a 9/11 style commission instead of a special. I mean, although who knows, they would have found something wrong with that too. I mean, there's no.
Yeah, I mean, if the bottom line is if they're actually investigating them and finding things that are like bringing out the truth of their corruption and
they have
bad
no
deeds,
interest in the truth.
Then
there's
it's
no
just,
interest.
Then it's a witch hunt. It's a snipe. Punt. It's bullshit.
Right. Was the 9/11 commission
bipartisan? And it was, it was like at least three people. And there was another commission that I think there was an option of either doing a special prosecutor or an independent commission.
And they went commission, sort of like the.
Or they went special prosecutor rather for
Trump
Russia. Yeah.
Right. Right. And JFK assassination and 9/11 commission were both bipartisan commissions. So it's just tough to imagine any actual version of reality where anybody looking into this can be seen as bipartisan.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to ask them, like, what would change your mind?
Right.
What would change your mind? Because I don't think it's not about the truth. They work backwards from, they first work backwards from we want the tax cuts. Then it's Trump is right.
Right.
Then it's, everything else.
All right. We wanted to move on to just a recent update about the North Korea talks that are scheduled for June 12th. This morning, President Trump has announced that they may be delayed, which is unfortunate because he has also released a commemorative coin.
Yeah. The White House had a challenge coin, as they call it, struck limited edition coin. With like Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump on it. It's very nice. It has the White House on one side with Air Force One flying over. The other side is like, it says Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un. I don't know why they put that on there. That's a little odd. Yeah, that's what they put. President Donald J. Trump and Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un 2018. And it's just a gaudy fucking stupid coin that I'm sure, because Donald Trump loves memorabilia, so he can prove to people he was president at one point. They had this coin. And again, this speaks to the whole spiking the football bullshit that, before you've actually scored the touchdown, you're making a commemorative coin like on the heels of all this other shit.
White Houses. So it was made by the White House?
The U.S. Mint.
The orders, I think, but do come from the White House to have a challenge, like a challenge coin struck like
this. Wow. That's incredible. If you were writing this story, like if the Veep writing staff were suddenly tasked with just writing the news for the next couple months, that would be just the perfect storyline, that Trump has a commemorative coin, that becomes like a big chip in it. It's like, but the commemorative coin.
That's going to be the motivational factor for the character to go through with it. It's like, well, I can't pull out now. I made the coin.
Right.
So.
And he's just so thirsty for a win. This can't be good for his.
And I'm sure more effort was put into making him look younger and handsomer on it than the idea
Kim Jong-un. His neck does, his throat neck is a kind of.
It's got a waddle going.
Well, not compared to Un, though. I mean, he's got jowls on there.
Yeah, they both
severe.
Got, I mean.
I love that they included the side fade of
his like
Jong-un.
Real hard step cut he has. Yeah.
Stubble.
We'll see. I mean, I hope.
And again, the coin in and of itself is not the issue. It's that they're called, the United States government should not be addressing him as Supreme Leader.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's the other thing.
At least they didn't put a date on it.
Yeah, well,
I know, exactly.
They only said 2018. Luckily, they didn't put the June 12th thing. So, the coin has a little bit of, little shelf life still. Yeah. So, if it doesn't happen in June. Maybe
and I'm sure replicas are going to be for sale at every Trump property.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. In the
Hopefully those don't turn out to be like the Bills Super Bowl t-shirts that were made and given away to third world countries in the 90s. All right. We wanted to talk about something that 60 Minutes has covered. A lot of different, you know, respected journalistic outlets have covered the possibility that the upcoming election will be hacked.
Yeah, the midterms, right?
The midterm elections being hacked. There's just all sorts of evidence that points to foreign powers infiltrating various election security networks, and the U.S. agency charged with ensuring that voting machines meet security standards was itself penetrated by a hacker after the November elections. So they've been testing the fences and getting through the fences easily. And
it's like, you know, Jurassic Park.
All of these signs, exactly. The Raptors are testing the fences. The Russians, in this case, are testing the fences.
Clever girl.
And the really scary thing is that a lot of states in America don't have paper ballots that back up their electronic ballots.
Yeah. So that leaves us very open to, I think, what we call fuckery.
Yeah.
In which the vote count could possibly be manipulated. And there's just been all kinds of weird stuff that has not been really brought up in the news that is like kind of fucking like next level. So I don't know if it's next level because I don't know anything, but for example, like they found these cell site stimulators called Stingrays or IMSI catchers. And, you know, it's not surprising that in certain articles they say that they would, that foreign intelligence groups or criminal groups would use this kind of hardware in the Capitol. But for the first time, the DHS sort of acknowledged that this stuff could possibly intercept sensitive political communications. Princeton computer scientists have also pointed out that these cell phone simulators, which they mimic legitimate cell towers, can also be used for like inexpensive vote hacking. So basically the Stingray would intercept the vote totals from the voting machine before they're uploaded to the actual canvassing computer mainframe thing. So, and again, they're just sort of like, oh, how'd these weird cell simulators show up in DC? There are many other sort of frightening things along with the idea that, yeah, we don't have paper records in certain states, like important states like Pennsylvania.
How is this not the number one priority of anyone who has anything to do with running elections in this country? I mean, this angers me so much that whether people are so cynical or lazy or manipulative,
right,
that they saw what happened in 2016 and it wasn't their number one priority to look at how can we prevent this from happening again. Whatever your party is, just if you like America,
right,
if you like democracy,
right,
how can you not want to make sure that the integrity of the elections is
right.
protected?
But if you're hyper partisan, you might be like, well, this might be the only way to fight off a Democratic wave.
Well, right.
You know, because clearly the intelligence community said that Russia clearly favored Trump over Hillary Clinton. And using that information, we can assume that possibly that's, I don't think that people are going to hack in the name of progressive ideals for the left. But yeah, you know, I think even in Europe, because they were really worried about certain elections in the last year getting manipulated by foreign actors or whatever, that some places just did all paper. Mm-hmm. They're like, we don't even want to even mess with computers because at least we know, like, we're looking at human beings using a paper ballot and we have that. We're counting that.
Right. So that's pretty scary stuff. And the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, yesterday had a presentation for Congress to which 40 members of Congress showed up.
40 to 50, they say. 50 on the higher end. That's like roughly 10%.
10% of Congress bothered to turn up. So I don't know if it's cynicism. I don't know if it's people on both sides being like, well, Trump is clearly never going to do anything about this because it's not in his interest to plug these holes, essentially.
Well, then we've done functionally nothing about it.
Right. I guess Pennsylvania is still working with electronic ballots that they got in, that they put into rotation in 2002. And they just got funding to replace them with new machines that will be updated in 2019.
Oh, so, cool. Just in time.
Just in time for this blue.
Yeah. Wave. And then I think at a few different like hacker conventions in like Vegas, they were easily just penetrating like these voting machines and like, and hacked. And now I can do whatever I want in here. So, I mean, I don't know what it is if they're, you know, it surprised me that only 40 to 50 Congress people showed up. I don't know if that speaks to that they felt the briefing was skewed or whatever, but when you read the headline that they gave a briefing on sort of election security and the numbers are low.
Yeah, this should be the most important, I mean, aside from just, you know, not getting physically attacked by somebody, but it's like, what's more important? Like, this is what we fought for.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is our actual democracy. This is how we know the will of the people.
Was it that hearing, though, where someone from the DHS said that they weren't aware of any evidence that the Russians had hacked the election, even though it was a publicly available report?
I know Kirstjen Nielsen, who is the head of DHS, said something to that effect of more like she hadn't heard of the intelligence community's assessment that Russia favored Trump.
Maybe that was it, yeah.
Yeah, which was weird, of just sort of like, oh, really? I don't know. It's like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, how are you on one hand being like, our elections are vulnerable? From who? Right. Oh, I don't know. But look, anyway,
It says everything, that they believe that if there were a fair election, that they wouldn't win.
Well, yeah, that's why the redistricting and all those efforts are massively frightening to the GOP, because they spent so long completely gerrymandering the districts and suppressing votes that if they're like, wait, we're not going to win a fair one, you know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure, as you'd hope, this story will pick up some steam and there'll be some kind of, well, more public pressure for them to do something.
Is there time, though? Is there time to fix this stuff?
I'd imagine, certainly
to harden the targets.
Or at the very least, like, you know, you just go all analog and you're like, yo, everywhere's a paper ballot.
Yeah. But I don't see how you don't do that, because otherwise the idea that you would have elections and they could be compromised and we wouldn't know it. We just wouldn't have the paper backup to see if people's votes have been changed.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. There's no way around that. You need to not do that if that's your plan. Yeah, I don't know. The whole idea of like gerrymandering and now this, I just wonder if I know that I personally was less motivated. I feel like in the past, the GOP and the right has been way more motivated to find these cracks that they can exploit in the system. And I feel like a lot of people who oppose far right-wing politics were just made aware and just like sort of activated. So that would be the possibly hopeful spin to put on it, is that all this fuckery is going to be harder for them to pull off now that people have seen how bad it can get if you're not actively engaged and, you know, getting out and voting and, you know, monitoring and making sure that the electoral system is protected. So we shall see. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and just a brief news flash is that a sinkhole is opening up in the White House lawn. It's growing every day. So yeah, someone who's not very subtle is writing the news now, apparently, whether it be the Veep writing staff or just...
Or it's a biblical thing, you know, like hell could be opening up to swallow it.
Yeah, the Old Testament is definitely not very subtle,
I would say. But I love the Pentateuch.
You've always been a fan. So yes. Let's get into the Michael Cohen letter that was sent to The Onion back in 2013.
Yeah, so in 2013, The Onion published a story that was, okay, first of all, if you're listening to this show and you don't know what the fuck The Onion is, shame on you. The Onion is a satirical website, is one of the great satirical news websites, publications out there. And in 2013, they ran an op-ed, which is fake. Let me say that again. A fake, satirical, ha-ha, lol, jokey op-ed written by Donald Trump, supposedly. But it's satirical, so we know it wasn't actually written by him. Called, "When You're Feeling Low, Just Remember, I'll Be Dead in About 15 or 20 Years." And it was just a very, you know, stupid, just sort of piece about Donald Trump, you know, dying because he sucks.
That's right. "In the not very distant future, I will die and then be gone from the world for all eternity. You may even get to watch me in a casket on national television being lowered into the ground, never to be seen again. I bet you're smiling just thinking about that."
Yeah. So because, you know, Michael Cohen, he's like number one attack dog for Trump, or who knows how this letter came about. A letter, very angry takedown letter, was written by Michael Cohen in all seriousness to The Onion, and it goes like this. "Dear Mr. Hanna, I wish to call your attention to an article currently on your homepage, allegedly penned by Donald Trump, entitled, 'When You're Feeling Low, Just Remember I'll Be Dead in About 10 or 15 years.' Let me begin by stating the obvious, that the commentary was not written by Mr. Trump." Secondly, the article is an absolutely disgusting piece that lacks any place in journalism, even in your onion. I am hereby demanding that you immediately remove this disgraceful piece from your website and issue an apology to Mr. Trump. I further ask that you contact immediately to discuss. This commentary goes way beyond defamation, and if not immediately removed, I will take all actions necessary to ensure your actions do not go without consequence. Guide yourself accordingly. Yours, Michael Cohen.
Oh, yours.
Yeah.
Aw. Warmly.
Warmly. Sincerely, Coco. So, yeah. I mean, he clearly didn't know what the fuck the onion was. And it turns out when you ask people, so our writer Jan McNabb was kind of looking into this thing, and there have been articles written about this moment at the Onion and what happened. And like one of the people who used to work there speculates that it was probably Trump himself that wrote this letter and just had Michael Cohen sent it off. They point to just sort of like the words like, this article is disgraceful and disgusting and essentially amounts to, I demand an apology.
Mm. I hereby demand.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's just sort of like that sort of like that just is the total Trump right. brand in terms of, you know, his writing style.
Right.
And like the wording they say is wonky, is nowhere even close to being like legalese. I mean, granted
Michael Cohen
went to like literally garbage law school. So, of course, we can't expect him to use like real, you know, like nuanced vocabulary. But yeah.
Trump is the one who sits around Googling Donald Trump all day, every day, not Michael Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it is Michael Cohen. But if so, that's very sad.
But the crazy part is when the Onion put out this piece, Michael Cohen then gets on Twitter to be like, see, I knew that was a joke.
Ha, you guys.
It's clearly a satirical website, so therefore my response was also satire. Therefore, by the laws of comedy, I am the new lord of ha-has. I don't know. I mean, like, was he...
Can I just read his tweet? Maybe all of you hashtag haters, hashtag trolls missed the memo, but At The Onion is a news satire organization. That means... It's not real.
But no, I think he's... Because they just came out with an article today, I think, or that he was responding to.
Yeah.
That,
hashtag
they,
get a life.
I thought the story was that they hadn't responded to it, and they just recently discovered that they had
so
this
they
email.
Did just
so they said at this editorial saying, all right, we'd like to take you up on your offer to come and talk to you. And
you're
I think
right.
like we'll take that down in exchange for access to the president.
They said
like
a
that.
Quid pro quo, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So, and so I think he was saying that that was satire or that the letter itself was, you know,
I don't know. Either way, the fact that he would have to come out, he was like, oh, that's a joke that I would do quid pro quo with the president.
Right.
But also, who is clicking on hashtag trolls? Like, who's looking for, let me see what the trolls are trending.
Probably
right
the
now.
Marketing people who put out the failed animated version. Of the Troll
right.
doll film Trolls.
Yeah. I just love the idea of him explaining to us that the Onion is satire. What a genius.
He's just, again, Trump, you know, this is John
Trump
Miller.
Trump has no humor. He has no sense of humor. He is not, he is incapable of, and he's so thin skinned.
And that's one of the things that people, I think Comey wrote about it, and I think there's other people who have spent time around him who remark that the most notable thing about Donald Trump when you spend time around him is he never laughs.
Yeah, joyless.
He never smiles. It's just all... and we spent a lot of time looking for clips of him laughing, and I think we found one
from
like many...
Yeah, it was
like
really weird. He was just like,
very odd
laugh.
It was sort of like an angry, passive-aggressive laugh.
They were also saying in like this other piece that Donald Trump actually called The Onion because there was no response to that email.
Mm.
Which would also lead you to
it was old Donnie. Sorry, John Miller. You couldn't spin this one this time.
And I've talked about how when I was at ABC News, we were creating a piece about how Donald Trump is not as rich as he claims. And he himself called the office maybe 30 times a day. He is
Please don't drag me.
But yeah, except basically threatening to sue until the ABC News legal department was like, okay.
And also, if you look at Michael Cohen's writing style, where we've seen him actually send shit to other people, he'll be like, what I will do to you will be fucking disgusting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how Michael Cohen comes at you. So there's the other thing. When you look at his past works, you can tell that this is not his usual writing style.
Yeah. And then we also wanted to talk about a word that has been deemed too hot for...
Cake.
So a student who was graduating cum laude from his, now this is weird. He was graduating from his Christian-based homeschool program.
Oh, I didn't see that
with
part.
A 4.89 grade point average, which I would feel worse for him if he was graduating from a real school. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to say that?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
probably not, but yeah. So
he did get an A in making his bed, though.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So they organized a graduation.
4.89. Get the fuck out of here.
They organized a graduation party, and she ordered a cake online from Publix.
Right, because he achieved the coveted summa cum laude.
Right.
You know what I mean?
From his mom.
From his.
Which, again, is, I believe, Latin for with honors?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
And
what's the summa part?
Super?
Super with honors.
Super with honors.
Super with honors.
With honors to the max, to the extreme.
Yeah, so I think it goes magna's the best, summa's the second best.
With the highest distinction, so I guess, yeah, that just means with the highest honor.
Then magna is the second best?
He finished first in his class at home school?
Magna cum laude is with great honor.
Okay.
And then summa cum laude is with highest honor.
With the greatest honor.
Highest honor.
So congratulations.
So I'm the summa podcast host.
So she carefully typed the words she wanted on the cake. Congrats, Jacob, summa cum laude, class of 2018. And Publix's online system was apparently unhappy with the word cum because they changed it on the cake to congrats, Jacob, summa
dash,
blank,
dash, dash.
Blank, blank, laude, class of 2018.
Because they thought it said, come.
Yeah. Summa, come. Laude, class of 2018.
Come on, Publix. You got let him rock with the, you know, he got the inflated GPA. Like, let him flex with his cake. You know, don't police the speech because you don't understand Latin. Because you thought, because what, a mother was going to put that on a cake? Like, intending it for it to mean semen?
But the weirdest thing is, like, let's say you saw that and you weren't obvious. You know, I'm assuming if you graduated summa cum laude, you're not in the cake department at Publix. But regardless of that, if they couldn't print it, wouldn't they call the person or inform them and say,
so.
we can't do this, but do you want to rewrite it or whatnot? But do you think it was the computer system that automatically changed it?
So it wasn't
someone working at Publix that said, I'm not going to write this on a cake.
Right. So someone at Jezebel did their own test where they basically, it was like an impromptu test where they just sort of put in like profane words to see what the website would censor. So they found that, embrace yourself, I'm going to say a few profane words, okay? So please brace yourself. These are the words that they found were automatically censored. Fuck, fucker, shit, bastard, bitch, cunt, vagina, penis, butt, anus, butthole, ass, asshole, pussy, crap, cock, fart, queef, damn, hell, slut, whore, prostitute, hooker, and the N-word. Now, I don't know why they just, for certain racial slurs, they were like, the N-word.
Right.
And then this could be the writer's thing. And then it said a variety of other racial slurs, in addition to motherfucker, twat, boner, jizz, spunk, and piss. And then, but they've also found that these words weren't. And the other words that got through the net were poop, cum, taint, dick, dickhole, cockiversary, ham wallet, dump, Jesus, sex, Jew, shit ass, communist,
please
commie,
tell me they put this all on one cake.
Give head, sploosh, douche, darn, homo, libtard, die. So, I don't know. It's a weird. I'm not exactly sure how that.
No, I assume they didn't actually order any of those cakes. So in other words, you get a confirmation once you put in your thing of what the cake's going to say, and the ones that were censored had the dashes in it. So the mom who ordered the cake should have known that they weren't going to do that, right?
Yeah. Apparently, like when you look at one of
these, she was looking for a little viral
images. Like
story.
So, when she ordered it, it looks like this flagged it and it said profane/special characters not allowed.
Okay, so she knew. So she went ahead with it to make a point.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look.
She says her son was humiliated.
Ay, boy.
Summa blank laude. What the fuck is this, mom?
Oh, my God. There's no with. So it's highest honor.
Who the hell wants that?
You think I duped an entire education system for my son to graduate with a falsely inflated GPA just for Publix
really
to fuck me like this?
Really coming for the homeschooled.
Yeah, this doesn't pass the smell test. She knew what she was doing and I think wanted to make a story.
Presumably. Yeah. Although I don't think that it goes from screen onto cake without some human intervention, right? Like they have somebody writing the shit up.
Yeah, it's not printed.
Just copying a thing. I mean, they might have thought that was an inside joke with, you know, there probably
Summa
could have
blank
been someone
laude.
Who ordered it and, you know, if they'd actually written the cum, that they would have been upset.
Right, yeah.
You got to print what's there.
Again, you know, look, I know people that have been homeschooled, mm-hmm. and some people actually have gotten education in homeschooling, mm-hmm. and other people I saw were like actor type kids who basically they just had to go to some form of quote unquote school to basically, you know, because they were working, and they functionally got no education. So I'm a little skeptical, mm-hmm. but it turns out it was actually a 4.79, Jack. So I'm looking at the mother's Facebook post where she explains it all. It's very
that's heartbreaking. So she planned all of this just so she could do a brag and, on the kid's GPA. She had no interest in getting this cake thing out there. She just needed an excuse to tell people, look how
you
smart my son is.
You might be onto something, because let me read you the post. Okay. That she. This is how we even found out it was a story. She goes like this. Okay, I didn't want to post, but I cannot resist. That already means
right.
I wanted to post
exactly.
this. Right. I ordered Jacob's graduation cake from Publix, a $70 cake. He earned a 4.79 GPA. Publix refused to write the word summa cum laude because I was using profanity. They put three dashes instead of the word. How utterly ridiculous. And I will be speaking to a manager for a refund. Shame on you, Publix, for turning an innocent Latin phrase into total embarrassment, for having to explain to my son and others, including my 70-year-old mother, about this joke of a cake. My son was humiliated, mortified.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do not disbelieve that the son was humiliated or mortified. I just do not. By this post. Yes, I do not think it had anything to do with the word on the cake. But yeah, she totally could have posted that without mentioning the GPA.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't need to. Right, exactly. Underlining 4.7. And I guess to make sure it's like, I'm not cheating when I ask for a summa cum laude,
right.
okay?
Yes.
It falls within.
Well, we all know when you order a cake, you do have to submit your transcripts.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Oh,
I mean, when it was
cool.
my birthday, they asked me to see ID just to get it at Baskin Robbins. They're like, well, when's your birthday? Let me see. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I guess we'll write it.
Jay Keith, it's been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find and follow you?
The big thing to find and follow is I am the host of a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network called Go Fact Yourself, which is celebrities playing trivia games. It's super fun. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. And our website is gofactorpod.com and on Twitter at gofactorpod. My personal Twitter is @J_Keith.
All right. That's easy enough.
I can say more about it, but yeah, that's the basics.
Yeah.
Jack was just processing.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just going dull. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Okay, let's say today I'm feeling this artist Buddy with a track called Find Me. I first heard about it through the video for this song, which is really dope. Check out the video for this track called Find Me. But yeah, Buddy's just kind of like in this new wave of R&B guys just doing his thing. I think you'll enjoy it. And please actually do check out the video because it's really cool. Like they shot it in like a Buick or something that they're just rotating like 360 degrees. So as he's in it, you can just see the gravity pull on him as he's sitting like in the car. But they edit it in a very cool way, like it's flying through the sky. So check out the video too. Find Me by Buddy.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Going crazy out of my mind these days. So much shit I gotta decide these days. Listening to all the lies they say. Starting up my car, I'm trying to get away. Seems like I've been driving all day. Smoking and drinking all by myself. Hoping and wishing I find myself. Lost and alone. Come find me. I just wanna feel love. Come try me. Lost in a
I've been looking, but I haven't found nothing yet. She been trying to kick it all the time, but I'm just posted, chilling all by myself. Weed crumbs on my thumbs, getting high as hell. Kush smoke, chase it down with a little liquor. Then I hop off the freeway just to swerve through the city. Got cop lights behind me, damn, I hope they don't kill me like, ooh. I calm down, rubbing on my temples. I'm smoking and drinking all by myself. Hoping and wishing I find myself in the late night, catching the vibe by myself. Lord willing, we won't die tonight. We gon' fly tonight. And I fly by myself, realizing that I can't hide from myself. Close my eyes just to see what's inside of myself. I cry by myself. Lost and alone. Come find me. I just wanna feel love. Ooh-hoo. Come try me. Lost. My sister alone. Say I'm changing a lot. Somewhere by the water, finally made it straight out of Compton. Father calling me like, son, we hardly see you at all. Yeah, I know you out here shining, but you can't do it all by yourself. And I can hear the voice of my mom telling me to pray for understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. Wish I knew what I know now back when I dropped out of college. Sometimes I feel like I can have way more shit accomplished. It don't matter cause I'm smoking and drinking all by myself. Hoping and wishing I find myself in the late night, catching the vibe by myself. Lord willing, we won't die tonight. We gon' fly tonight. And I fly by myself, realizing that I can't hide from myself. Close my eyes just to see what's inside of myself. I cry by myself. Lost and alone. Come find me. I just wanna feel love. Come try.
Réveille-toi, man. Réveille-toi. Hey.